standing as we go to the scripture this morning to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Pastor Jerry, we miss him and First Lady. Amen. They'll be back Wednesday night, and next Sunday is graduation Sunday. So if you're graduating from kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, middle school, high school, junior high, I don't care, whatever. If you took a course to work at McDonald's and graduated, you know, we want to honor you as well. Whatever you graduated from, if you graduated from online or in line or whatever, you just come next Sunday and we're going to honor you. But you need to let us know, so we can get your pictures up on the screen and get the information correct. Alrighty. I'm preaching. A lot of times when I preach through a book of the Bible. I've done that. I've preached through the entire books of the Bible verse by verse. Sometimes I preach through a chapter of the Bible. But the last few weeks I've been preaching not through a book or through a chapter or not even on a single verse, but I've been preaching on one word. And this one word is found throughout the Bible over 100 times. So don't you think a word repeated 100 times is important in the Word of God? And so this word has brought deliverance, change, and victory. And this is the word. It's called nevertheless. You can go ahead and put that on up. Nevertheless. I want you to turn around and tell somebody nevertheless. Amen. That's the word. Nevertheless. Now we've talked about nevertheless at thy word. The nevertheless of faith. We talked about that. Last Sunday we talked about the nevertheless of prayer. Nehemiah, nevertheless we prayed. Last Sunday morning, nevertheless he saved them. And we talked about how that God saves even those who seem unsavable. But this morning we're going to one of the most hopeless places that you could possibly be. And where would that hopeless place be? It would be in a graveyard. And today we're going to talk about the nevertheless of hope. Because even when it looks the worst, God is at his best. Can you say amen? So this morning we're going to talk about nevertheless of hope. And we're going to John chapter 11 verses 1 through 6. And if you're there, say amen. By the way, it's good to see everybody this morning. Amen. I see Jessica back there. I just love it when she comes home. Amen. Don't we all? We just miss her. All right. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 2, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6. And when he had heard, therefore, now this is important, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Now go down to verse 14. Go down to verse number 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15. Here it is. But I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you might believe. Now, if we stop right there, this wouldn't be a very pretty story. But there's a word there. Do you see it? And that word there just changes everything, doesn't it? But nevertheless, let us go to him. The nevertheless of hope. Father, thank you today for the anointing that we felt, the singing, the music. And I pray that you would anoint your servant to preach the word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody this word changes everything. I said it changes everything. And one last time, give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. I love a hand clap. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto the Lord. Amen. Let me start out by defining to you what the word hope means. It doesn't mean back then what it means today. For example, when we say today that we hope or we hope so, we're using it sort of like this. Well, when it comes to little Johnny cleaning his room, I hope so. Or when it comes to Congress paying off the national debt, you know, I hope so. Here's a good one. Sister Susan, you'll love this one. When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys winning the Super Bowl, I hope so, you know. But, you know, what we talk about hope is really nothing more than a glorified maybe. We use hope today like maybe Johnny will clean his room, or maybe the Congress will pay off the national debt, or maybe the Dallas Cowboys will win the Super Bowl 1 year into 2048, I believe. But listen, the word hope is not the same as today as it was in the Word of God. When the Word of God speaks of hope, it's talking about something, not a hope so or a maybe. It's talking about a done deal. So go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that what? Cannot lie. When you're talking about biblical hope, brother and sister, you can hang everything on it. It means it's a gonna happen. It's a done deal. God cannot lie. There is hope. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Aren't you glad of that? And then go to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. This is where you really understand that the word hope means something solid. Looking for that what? Blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now the Bible calls the coming of the Lord the blessed hope. Now how many of you know that the Lord is coming? It's not a matter of if, but when. It's not the blessed maybe. It's not the blessed thing. Perhaps, maybe, it is the blessed hope. He is coming. And so when we talk about hope, we're talking about a divine certainty. It's gonna happen. Can you say amen this morning? But there are times when it seems like all hope is lost. Can you agree with that? December the 19th, 1927, just off the coast of Massachusetts, a United States submarine was broadsided by a frigate. The frigate had no concept at what it hit. It was operating under sealed orders. They had no idea how they had been hit. They had been hit right in the engine room, the electrical room, and everything on that submarine shut down. And within a matter of minutes, it was on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. They sent out the USS Falcon, sent down some deep water divers to see if there was any possibility of rescuing those sailors that were on board that ship. Now, they were alive, and they knew they were alive, but they were shut off. Their engines were shut down. No electricity. The lights were out. They were sitting there. Everything was getting colder by the minute. They were at the bottom of the ocean. No oxygen coming in. Just what they had in reserves. And they could only hold their breath for just, or hold the air for just a few hours. Deep sea divers got down close to the hull of the submarine and they could hear something and they didn't know what it was. They had heard something was tapping. They didn't really understand it until somebody recognized somebody on the inside of that submarine was tapping out Morse code, which was used back then. And they discerned that the Morse code was this. It was a question coming from the inside of that submarine was tapped out these words. Is there any hope? And I believe a lot of people are asking that today. Some people in their marriage situation, is there any hope? Some people in their financial situation, is there any hope? People that are facing mountains. But I want you to know that when it looks like all hope is lost, there is a God. There is a way where there seems to be no way. When all hope is lost, there is a promise. There is a purpose. There is a presence. There is a word. When all hope is lost, there is a word. Does anybody have an idea what that word might be? That word is nevertheless. Shout it with me. Nevertheless. I want to talk to you about nevertheless of hope this morning. And we see this at the graveyard. We see this when a man has been dead 4 days and is stinking. Now let me give you the story. Number one, the description. Point number one, the description. Who was Lazarus? Go to verse 1-4. John chapter 11 verses 1-4. Who was Lazarus? Now a certain man. He was a certain man. He was sick, named Lazarus. Lazarus from the of Bethany, the sister of Mary and Martha. It was this Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Verse 3, these sisters sent unto Jesus saying, Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, Lazarus was not just an anonymous person. This was somebody that Jesus knew personally. Say personally. He was somebody that was a part of his inner circle of friends. Say friends. He was a personal friend. Are you with me this morning? He was not just anybody to Jesus, not just part of a crowd. He was part of the inner circle. He was, in other words, somebody. And my friend, I think that's very interesting that we have one of the greatest miracles of a person who was a friend of Jesus, a person who was an intimate with Jesus, a person who knew this person intimately. Now, yes, God knows everybody. Amen. God knows everybody. But I want you to know this morning that we have a friend in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're facing a tough situation or a lonely situation, I know sometimes, don't it bother you when friends turn on you? Doesn't it? One of the greatest hurts of life is when a friend betrays you or doesn't. I like friends who's got my back. Come on here. I know you know your true friends because when everybody walks out, those friends are still there. Can you say amen? Well, I want you to know Jesus was a friend, a personal friend to Lazarus. Well, what's that got to do with me? The songwriter summed it up when he said, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege just to carry everything in prayer." I want you to know that you have a I am a friend of God, and He knows my name. I'm part of that inner circle. And thank God, nevertheless, He's going to look out for His friends. How many of you know He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Can you celebrate it this morning that you have a friend that sticks closer than any earthly person? Oh, can we find a friend so faithful who with all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the description of Lazarus' situation. He is sick and about to die. They call for his friend Jesus. Now let's go to point number two. Not only the description of Lazarus, but the delay of Jesus' response. Go to verses 6-7. Go to verses 6-7. It says, when Jesus heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. Now that is a fascinating scripture right there. Because you would think if he were a friend, you would think if he was like he did for others and God Almighty, that he would just spring to action immediately. Now let's put it down to where maybe you can understand. I know this is back then, I know this is Lazarus, but let's talk about if you get sick and you're rushed to the hospital and you have been diagnosed with some terrible thing and you're admitted to the hospital and you call Pastor Jerry or Pastor Ricky and we don't get up to the hospital till 2 days later and you've been a faithful member and you've paid your tithe and maybe you've been here and but how many of you know that the pastor and he can, not that the pastor's away on vacation, but don't you know that the pastor waiting 2 days, there's going to be some problems with the deacons. I just got a feeling. Come on now. I just got a feeling there's going to be some issues. Well, you know what? That's how they felt. They felt like he delayed. And he didn't immediately jump into action. Or did he in a way we don't know about? Come on. I was at the ATM not long ago and I put in the card and I waited and waited and waited. And then I punched in the pin code and I waited and waited and then I punched in something else, you know, the dollar amount and I waited and every time I seemed like I was in a hurry, I had to get on somewhere and I just need to get my $20 and people were in line behind me and on the screen flashed two words and those words just hit me wrong. Please wait. Now, I don't know about you, but every now and then God puts a please wait when in our life. And I don't like it either. You know, now I want God to jump into action and just solve everything right now. But I want you to know that sometimes God is working and his delay, you may be feeling like you're in a delay right now.
You know, sometimes you feel like you've prayed and there's been a delay. Listen, God is not inactive just because he's not doing it right now. There may be a plea. Listen, when it comes to the turnaround, please wait. When it comes to a breakthrough, please wait. When it comes to answered prayer, please wait. When it comes to old-fashioned revival, please wait. My God is heard. My God is up to something. My God is doing something, though you may not see it. He is getting ready to do mighty things, even if you have to wait. Somebody ought to give him praise for that today. God's going to get more glory, more power, even in the delays in our life. I'm telling you, a lot of 99% of your prayers will not be answered in 24 hours or 48 hours. There are times when God has a purpose in his delay. Now, that's the delay. That's the description. Now, let's move right along to the death. Okay, so Jesus waited, and they were wanting him to pray for him and heal his sickness. But, oh, no, he died. Look at John chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, you're thinking what the disciples thought. Disciples says, Lord, if he sleeps, he's doing good. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of him taking rest in sleep. Now, at first, he said asleep. And why did Jesus say about Lazarus' death that he was asleep? That's very interesting to me. God doesn't just use words to use words. There's a purpose in that. Because there's a truth here, and there's a comfort here that we need to understand, that to the child of God, death is just sleeping. Because one day we're going to be wakened out of that sleep in this body, and we're going to be just Lazarus is the first one. Hallelujah. Now, let me explain something else to you. Now, how many of you know when you go to sleep and you have these dreams, and I know, you know, you wake up in the morning and you've had these crazy dreams. You feel like you've been fighting something, or you're talking to people, and sometimes you wake up and dreams are so real. Well, let me tell you, when a Christian dies, the body is asleep, not the soul, not the spirit, okay? Because we are body, soul, and spirit. You see, I have a suit and I have a body, and one day I'm going to lay aside the suit, change clothes. But we're going to lay aside the body. The body's going to go to sleep. Say amen. But the spirit in that body is going to be not dreaming. It's going to be real. We're going to be on streets of gold. We're going to be with the Lord. Say amen. Come on now. We've got hope. I said we've got hope in the graveyard. Jesus stated the fact. He said, And by the way, we don't believe in soul sleep. We don't believe that when you die, your soul sleeps and will be resurrected later. Your body will be resurrected, but your soul will be reunited with the body. Somebody's helped me preach this morning. But Jesus stated a fact. He said, no, guys, I said he's asleep because in a sense he is. His body's asleep and his soul is with the Lord and he's wide awake. But physically, okay, he's dead. It's a fact. Somebody say a fact. You know, there's nothing wrong with stating the facts. There was a movement in Pentecostal history back in the 80s, 70s and 80s. There was some charismatic teachers on TV that used to tell you that never state the fact. Even if it's a fact, don't even say it. If you've got a disease, don't say I've got a disease. You know, even though the x-ray shows it, even though the reports show it, if you've got diabetes and don't say you've got diabetes, never state. Listen, there's nothing wrong with stating the facts. The facts are the facts. Lazarus is dead. Go to verse 15, John chapter 11, verse 15. He said, Lazarus is dead. Now, this is what he said. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you might believe. You know what? The next word changes everything. What does it say? I've got the fact. The fact is he's dead. But nevertheless, There's something greater than the facts. Oh, let me tell you, the facts are the facts. But nevertheless, God can change facts. It's a fact that the sun can't stand still. But nevertheless, God caused that sun to stand still for Joshua. It's a fact that water doesn't just open. But God, nevertheless, opened that Red Sea, and they came through on dry ground. It's a fact that an iron axe head cannot swim when you lose it. It's a fact. It's a law of nature. But nevertheless, the man of God said, touch that water, and that old axe head began to float. I'm about to have a running spell here this morning. It's a fact that a 250-pound man like your Pastor Ricky Nelms can't walk on water. But let me tell you, old Peter, nevertheless, step out of the boat. God can deny and overcome the facts. It's a fact you're depressed, but nevertheless, it's a fact that you have felt oppression, but nevertheless, it's a fact that maybe you've been laid off, but nevertheless, it's a fact that you've had a stroke, but nevertheless, my God is a healer. Somebody shout glory. Nevertheless, changes the facts. Oh, I'm about to shout this morning. Amen. Oh, not only do we see the description, the delay to the death, but now let's look at point number four, the doubt of Mary and Martha. Go to verses 20 through 22. I would say I'm about done, Brother Clark. You come on up. But since you're not feeling well, I get to preach longer. I'm the one that's going to call me to play the piano at the close. That's not... Y'all need to pray nevertheless. Oh, doubt. Here's where the board meeting comes in. Here's where the... Here's where people get together and project torpedoes, impossibility thinkers, the almighty dollar. And I know we've got to be wise and we've got to be frugal. I do believe in that. That is very important. But we as Christians got to walk in nevertheless. Well, the economy is down. Not God's economy. You got yours based on Wall Street. I got mine based on the Golden Streets. Amen. I said, nevertheless. And so here comes Mary and Martha. Good people. Bless your heart. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 20. Where are we at? Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house because Mary was a little upset. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Well, give her some credit. Verse 22. But now I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it. Now, that's good. But she said, Lord, if you had not delayed, if you had answered when I prayed, if you had done X, Y, Z, I'm just here to tell you, I was praying not long ago. And I got beside myself when I was praying. I can tell you where I was praying at, but I won't. But I was praying and I said, Lord, don't you hear me? Of course he does. I'm like, Lord, I need you to act. I need you to do it, you know, soon. Time's running out. Come on. I mean, you know, time don't run out to God. Come on. Help me now. The doubt, pessimism, you know, well, now he's dead. Can't do nothing now. Nevertheless. Jesus said, look at John chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again, but in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I love this. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, though he were dead, yet shall he live. One of the great scriptures of Christianity that we celebrate. The Christian death is a proclamation that our God is a mighty God. He is the Lord of living and of the dying. I want you to know that death ain't no big deal. When we close our eyes here, draw our breath here, we are stepping over into a glory world where there is no problems and pains and sickness. There is a promise that April sung about this morning. And I know that He wants to bless us in this life. And I believe in that He will cause us to live long and bless us with the length of days. But I want you to know the greatest length of days is eternity. Glory to God. And He is the resurrection and the life. And though you are dead, you are still alive. Go to the grave of a loved one. They're not there. They're shut. The body is asleep. Glory to God. But they are with the Lord. He is their God. Amen. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, when doubt comes in, just remember that word, nevertheless. He will change things even at a graveyard. It happened one other time. You know, the Jews, when Jesus came, if they really knew their Bible, they would have clearly known He was the Messiah. Because Lazarus had been dead 4 days and he began to decompose. And I understand, according to the Jewish, you know, we have certain funeral rites and stuff. And so the Jews believe that on the fourth day, the soul finally went to God, that the soul hung around for 3 days. And on the fourth day, it was gone forever. And so that's one reason why Jesus delayed. He wanted to show them, I'm God Almighty in the flesh. And if they had just read the book of Ezekiel from the Old Testament, Ezekiel was out there with a valley full of bones. Are y'all with me? And can these bones live? Oh, my friend, some of you are like, can this ever change? But nevertheless, Lord, you know, old Ezekiel, them bones, them dry bones. I want to tell you, that's supposed to let us know that no matter how difficult, no matter how impossible, no matter what that situation seems, the God of the valley of the dry bones, the God of Lazarus, is the God today, and He can resurrect those bones that have been dead and decaying, those dreams, those visions, all that seems hopeless. Oh, breath of God, breathe, and those dry bones came together and became a mighty army. God can raise up a church. God can raise up a preacher. God can raise up your children. God can make of these stones children unto Abraham. I know they may be hard like those stones, but Mike, I'm about to explode. Somebody shall nevertheless. Amen. Give Him a hand of praise here. Hallelujah. Ricky, it's time to go to the piano. All right. The declaration. Description, delay, death, doubt, the declaration. And so here Jesus comes to the tomb. Notice this. I want to point this out to you. John chapter 11, verse 34. And He said, where have you laid Him? Let's go on to that, my brother. Where have you laid Him? They said, the Lord, come and see. Now go to the next scripture. Jesus wept. I love that scripture. Now, it's the shortest scripture in the English Bible, King James Version. How many of you know that the Bible was not written originally in English? The Bible, English, did not exist at the time of Jesus. So the Bible was originally written in Greek. It's interesting that the shortest Greek word or Greek scripture in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, which translates rejoice evermore. Amen. That's the shortest verse of the Bible, is rejoice. Not weeping, but rejoice. But Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Why did Jesus weep? I preached one time on the tears of the Maker. It speaks of His humanity, His love. You know, when Jesus saw the condition of Lazarus and He saw the doubt of the people, He wept. And, you know, shouldn't we weep when we see people on drugs? I weep when I hear about them killing a baby right after it's born. How abominable. How can you tell me that's a woman's right? The truth is, I'm going to say it. Focus in on me on live stream, because I know I'm going to get in trouble for it. You cannot believe in God and believe in abortion. You can't. You're either an atheist or a Christian. If you're an atheist, you're for abortion. I'm sorry. I said it. Pastor Jerry didn't say it. The deacon board here didn't say it. So I'm giving you this. This is just the views expressed are not necessarily those of all the members here at Westmoreland. But you're either an atheist, because a Christian, a believer in God, cannot believe in aborting. Well, what about this and what about that? Well, listen, God has compassion, rape, incest, all of those things. There is compassion and there's mercy for that. I understand that. But I'm here to tell you it is just this simple. Life begins at the moment of conception, and God Almighty is the giver of life. You have no right to take that life. God is the author of life, and when we take that life, we're doing a terrible thing, because God has a plan for every life. Can you say amen? All right. I'm in jail now, so y'all come bring me some biscuits. All right. But you know, if a person's ever had an abortion, God can forgive that. Amen. And we don't believe in violence or killing abortion doctors. What we believe is, and people talk about, well, there should be a separation of church and state. That's not in the Constitution. And as long as I breathe, I'm part of the state and I'm part of the church. And you can't separate. I can't go to the voting booth and put out my church. I got to go to the voting booth with who I am. Amen. I'm chasing a rabbit right now. Listen, the point I'm trying to tell you here is that God wept. He wept over sin. He wept over, and we should weep over those who are bound, and we should weep as he did. But listen, Jesus said, roll away the stone. I got to get old Lazarus out of this grave and we got to go. But listen, Jesus said, roll away the stone. Did somebody say, roll away the stone? You know how heavy that stone was? That stone was not easy. You know, we just want God to do everything. We want God to give us a job. But have you put in applications? Well, I don't know. No, you've got to roll away the stone. Well, I believe the Lord wants to prosper me. But you got to roll away and put some tithes and offerings in. Say amen, somebody. God's not got to have it. But there's something about you putting forth an effort. Something about you saying, I believe, nevertheless. I don't understand this, but nevertheless, we're going to roll away that stone. My God, He is up to something. God wants to work in you and through you, and He wants to do something great. We've got to, if you're a singer, you better practice. Amen. If you're a preacher, you better study. Amen. If you're a Sunday school teacher, roll away the stone and get ready. I'm here to tell you, when we do our part, guess what? God does His part. Roll away that stone. Tell your neighbor, roll away the stone this morning. Amen. Oh, if you're going to have the blessing, you need to be in the house. Amen. You can't sit at home. If you can be at church, be at church. Roll away the stone. Get out of the bed. Push the covers back. Be in God's house. I know the kids are sick, but you're not going to miss work if they're sick either. Come on. You come if you got to come by yourself and pray for. Oh, I'm doing some old fashioned preaching here. Roll away the stone. Hallelujah. Jesus looked. Just go ahead and stand with me, because I just got to cut this off. Just stand with me this morning. He looked. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lazarus is laying in that tomb. Oh, it's all dead. You should have. Listen, He reminds them of His promise. Jesus said, did I not say unto you that if you would believe, you could see the glory of God? Some of you need to be reminded of the promise. Here it is, April. I got it right here in my notes. He reminds them, go to John chapter 11, verse 40. Before He says Lazarus comes forth, He reminds them. And I'm here today to remind you, you've got promises. God is a God of covenant. He has promised to save that child that's not saved this morning. He has promised to heal your sick body. He reminds them of His promise. Then He renders prayer to God. He begins to pray. He doesn't just say, Lazarus, come forth. He prays. That's a good pattern to go by. And then He not only reminds them of their promise, renders prayer and praise. He then raises His voice. Lazarus, come forth. Nevertheless, he might have stunk. Nevertheless, he died 4 days ago. But at the command of the Savior, Lazarus, come forth. I had a young preacher down east where I pastored down at Smyrna. He was a DJ Hunt, Merrill Hunt. And he preached on Lazarus one time, and he did this. He said, this is how Lazarus came out of the tomb. Woo, that's going to hit somebody here in a minute. He came out. He still had his grave clothes on. But bless God, he won't in that grave. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. On that great getting up morning, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Nevertheless, I'm coming out and I'm coming through. Somebody shout glory and give him praise this morning. I feel a Jerry Nelson jump coming on. Amen. In honor of our pastor, he breaks every chain. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, nevertheless, what seemed to be hopeless. I never did find out if those submarines sailors were saved. I'll probably need to check that on Google. But I will tell you this. Listen to me. There is hope for you today. And to be honest with you, we're all spiritually dead without the Lord. And if you're not saved today, he's calling you to come forth. Would you bow your head this morning? And Father, we just come today to thank you and praise you for that wonderful word, nevertheless. If you're not saved this morning, he's calling you to come forth. Oh God, we give you the praise today. Just bow your head, close your eyes, say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm dead in my trespasses and sins, but nevertheless, you'll save me. Oh God, save some soul this morning, and we'll give you the praise today. And I want you just to lift your hands all over this building. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great and how great is our God. Everybody sing that. How great is our God. Isn't he great? Oh, sing with me how great. Nevertheless, nevertheless, all will see how great, how great is our God. Name above every name.